Good morning, Nisim. It's a pleasure to see you, a pleasure to be here, and a privilege to address all of our beautiful and gorgeous Jewish listeners out there with some Divrei Torah, as heard from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And we are still in the parashiyot of Abraham and Sarah, and a beautiful Abot and Imahot and Sefer Bereshit. We're coming on to Parashat Chaye Sarah. Now we have to know the Torah is Hashem is teaching Torah through the model of Avraham Avinu, right here. He's the pillar of the world. Amud ha'olam, amudo shel olam, anak sheba anakim. And everything he's doing is Torah. The way he moves, the way he talks, the way he acts. Whatever he's doing, it's Torah mamash. So let's learn Torah. Derech eretz kadma la Torah. Good character and midot is a prerequisite for learning Torah. That's why Hashem put Sefer Bereshit before Sefer Shemot, which has the Matan Torah. Because in order to get Matan Torah, you must be prepared with good Midot, Midot Tovot, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, Rachel. We're learning all the Midot. We're going to see them later on with Yaakov, Yosef, the Shevatim. All these are Midot Tovot to prepare as preparation for Kabbalat HaTorah. And it means many things. Derech Eretz Kabbalat Torah. Any Torah you'll ever learn will be filtered, it'll be altered, it'll be biased by your midot. So it's very important to have those midot on straight, because that's going to be the glasses that you have that the Torah is being filtered through. They're the glasses which your views see and perceive everything. So if you have rosy colored glasses on and you see a rosy colored Tov Me'od world, then you're going to be able to see properly. A good eye, Ayin Toba, is needed to gain a proper Leb Tov, a mind, a Torah mind. You have to have the Ayin first. You have to be able to see it first. Then you can gain a good mind. Sefer Bereshit is called Sefer Derech Eretz, and it's the most voluminous of all the Hamishei Chumshei Torah. Yet, there are only three mitzvot in Sefer Bereshit. However, Hashem put it before Sefer Shemot, because we just said it contains many, many commandments and mitzvot which are not enumerated in the 613. All of the Torah stories in Sefer Bereshit are prerequisites for accepting Torah, every single one of them. When Abraham now is going to be buying Banat HaMachpelah, you have to study that. It's in Torah. Hashem is putting it in the Torah. That's the mind of Hashem, the thoughts of Hashem. He's putting it there, and he gives it a lot of space. Now, Rambam in Hilchot Deot, which talks about opinions and ideas, really should be called Hilchot Midot, called it Hilchot Deot. But only when you read it, it's only talking about midot, about character traits, since it is what the Rambam is explaining. So why isn't it called Hilchot Midot? Why is calling it Hilchot Deot, opinions and ideas? Because the Rambam knows that the secret that our midot, our character traits, are what's influencing and affecting our opinions, and that's the way we perceive information. So whatever you... when you learn something or you see something and you see it a certain way, with a certain angle, it's being angled, it's being biased by your character traits. So this is a way that you can actually discover the character traits that you have. If you're seeing things with a kindly nature, if you're seeing things the opposite nature, wherever you're seeing it, that is being, you have to realize that's a reflection of your innards, your inside midot. Now, at the same time, the type of information, the ideas, the deot that you have are exposed to the will, and the will, they'll be influenced by our midot. So our midot are affecting our deot, and our deot are affecting our midot. So whatever the midot, the character traits are affecting the information that you see, the deot, the opinions that you have, and your opinions, if you gather good opinions, that's affecting your midot. It's making you have midot tovot. You learn good things, you'll have good midot. Now, let's learn Derech Eretz from Abraham and Sarah. We have to know Sarah Imenu was all chesed. She was all chesed. She converted the women. Sarah mitgayeret et hanashim. And she enlightened them about Hashem. This is the biggest chesed in the world. Biggest chesed in the world is to teach somebody there's Hashem in the world. And you know, our religion is a religion that's based on hakarat hatob, thanking, gratitude, appreciation. And we have to walk, certainly, we have to be thanking Hashem, thanking our parents, thanking, this is the basis of being a Jew and being a human being, to show that we are not haughty, to show we are humbled. We realize we're receivers. We're on the getting end. We're in debt. All this is a cause for us to be in a humble nature. But we have to know the biggest idea, the biggest thing we have to be thankful for. And as I said again, you have to thank Hashem for your Torah, for your skin, for your eyes, for your legs, for your mother, for your father. But the number one thing we have to be thankful for, which a lot of people don't think about, I was thinking about it this week. Number one on the list, you have to be thankful for who Hashem Elokeinu v'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. You have to be thankful that there's a Hashem in the world. You have to thank Hashem that there's a Hashem in the world. Imagine if you didn't know that there was Hashem in the world, the world's helter-skelter, was all over the place, everything's going by itself, nothing's under control. So you have the biggest, number one thing you have to thank Hashem for is the fact that there is a Hashem in the world and that He revealed it to us, that there is a Hashem in the world. And Hu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Yud Kei Bab Kei means Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hu Hashem Elokeinu. He is ours and nobody else's. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. He is ours. He's watching us with a special hashkacha. He is watching us with a special love. Ki Yedativ. I love you, Abraham. He loved Abraham. I love Abraham and he loves his seed. Why? Because you're going to command it your household after you to walk in the ways of Hashem, to keep all of his mitzvot, and to have all good midot. Midot tovot. And that's why Hashem loves the Jewish people. So again, what are we thanking? What is the number one thing we're thanking for? We're thanking Hu Hashem Elokeinu b'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. We're thanking Hashem that there's an Hashem in the world. When's the last time you did that? I want to thank you, Hashem, that there's a Hashem in the world, that He's running the world. And He's ours, Elokeinu b'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. And He's running, and He's putting all of His judgments are all over the world. He is judging the world. There's noten lasharat kerish ato, and he gives punishment and he gives reward according to what is he deems correct and just. So this is the biggest chesed in the world. So Sarah was teaching these chasadim to the people, and on top of that, she also fed her guests, and she was a loyal wife and a top student of Abraham Avinu. Sarah was the top student of Abraham Avinu, and that's how she became so great. That's how she became a prophetess even greater than Abraham Avinu. Hashem told Abraham Avinu, whatever your wife Sarah tells you, listen to her. Not only in this case of throwing out Ishmael from the house, but in all cases, Hashem told Abraham, listen to her. Why? Because how did she get to that level that Hashem should tell Abraham? Abraham is the greatest man in the world, and yet, on the subject of communication, prophecy from Hashem, Sarah was greater. Now, don't make any mistakes. Sarah was not a greater personage than Abraham Avinu. No, she was a greater prophetess than Abraham Avinu, and we only can know that, can say that, because Hashem said it. So, how did she become on this level? That's a big question. How did Sarah Imenu get on such a level? And the answer is an open pasuk. It says, "V'sara shomaat petach ha'ohel," and Sarah was listening at the door of the tent. And so, just get that picture in your mind. Sarah Imenu, she is crouched over, and she has a hand to her ear, and she's listening, and she's listening all day. What is she listening to? She's listening to Abraham Avinu talk to wayfarers. She's listening to Abraham Avinu convert the people, the idol worshippers, and that's what she's listening to. She's listening to Abraham infuse emunah in the people. Now you have to know, emunah and yirat shamayim, that's hainuhach. That's oto davar. That's a symbiosis. I'm sorry, you got to have yirat shamayim, and we have to know that's the purpose of life. Purpose of us in this world is to have yirat shamayim. It means awareness of Hashem. And emunah is how you get to Yirat Shemayim, by reinforcing and working on your emunah hushit. You study all the wonders of nature. You see all the things that are going on in the world in nature and how it shows godlo v'tuvo and dat. Everything in this nature, every natural process in the world reveals the power, good law, and the goodness, the kindliness, and da'at, and the wisdom of the Creator in them. And that's what Sarah Imenu learned how to do. And by doing those things, she was listening to Abraham teach those things in the tent, and she listened every day. Not only that day, every day. You have to know, when it tells you, this is a way to learn Torah over here. When it tells you she was listening that day, it means she was listening every day. When it says Abraham Avinu was waiting by the door of the tent that day, it means he was waiting by the door of the tent every day. When it says that he went out to call out in the name of Hashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, that day, it means he did it every day. All of these are Binyan Av. So the Torah tells us here sometimes just once, but you have to know, when it comes to the great Avot and Imahot, they were doing it every day, all the time. And it teaches us also how to become great by to repeat things as much as we can, by repetition. It sinks in. So she was listening at the door of her tent, and therefore she became a greater prophetess than Abraham Avinu. Another idea was that how did she become greater? Well, Sarah was in the tent. Sarah was in the tent. She didn't go out of the tent. She was in the tent. Abraham Avinu, of course, he had to go. That was his job. That was his tafkid. He went outside the tent to mix with the people of the land. He mixed with them in order to convert them, in order to do his chesed. However, there was a mitziut there. The mitziut was that he was mixing him with the Obdei Avodah Zarah, and this automatically, by virtue of gravity, would have some kind of a diverse effect. Although Abraham was doing a mitzvah, still he had to go out in the dirt, and it went inside of his fingernails, maybe. But Sarah Imenu was pure and clean. She never went outside the tent, and therefore, another reason why, it contributed to her becoming a greater prophetess than Abraham Avinu. Ulai. Now, I have to know that we are talking today about Sarah Imenu, the greatest woman that ever lived. And we just gave you a reason why. Of course, she always listened to her great husband, the greatest man that ever lived. And by virtue of that, and that tandem, that team of Sarah and Abraham and Sarah, that team that was never to be replicated again, never to reach as high a height again ever, of Abraham and Sarah, their holiness, their kedusha, their yirah, their chesed that they had. Chesed Hashem maleha aretz. And that what they had was never duplicated again. Now we have to know that the ohel of Abraham and Sarah was the original Beit HaMikdash. No less. It was actually greater than all the Beit HaMikdashes, all of them. That tent had the Shekhinah, Anane Kabod, hovering over the tent, which is like on the first Beit HaMikdash, also had Shekhinah hovering over the Beit HaMikdash. Now that tent had many miracles. It had the miracles of the Nerot. They lit all week. Same thing in the Beit HaMikdash. Had the candles lit. Also, the tent of Sarah had the miracle of the Lechem HaPanim. Had the hot bread. And it was hot all week. And it was sitting where? On the Shulchan. And the Beit HaMikdash copied that Shulchan. They copied that bread. They copied those candles. And the tent of Abraham Avinu also had Korbanot in it. We see over here, when he went to go give meat and to the wayfarers, he went to get, he got a bull, got an ox, and he made shechita inside the tent. It's like a korban. Made a shechita in the mizbeach. His tent was a mizbeach. His shulchan was a mizbeach. So we see many, many parallels of the tent of Sarah and Abraham that was the original Beit HaMikdash, before the Mishkan, before Beit HaMikdash Rishon, before Mikdash Sheni. And, as we said again, when she passed away, all of these things stopped happening because that was the Churban Beit HaMikdash. If anybody asks you, when was the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash, we can tell them the truth. It was the death of Sarah Imenu. When she passed away, that was the Churban Beit HaMikdash. Now, Sarah Imenu passes away in our parasha at 127 years old. And the Torah tells us Abraham cried. He cried for Sarah. And he delivered a eulogy. which we still have in our hands. A lot of people don't know that, but we say it every Friday night. That's the Eshet Chayil. If you examine the Pesukim there, you'll see that Abraham Avinu is describing Sarah Imenu, the Eshet Chayil, the greatest woman. Of course, we understand that it was written by Shlomo HaMelech and Mishleh, but Shlomo had Ruach HaKodesh, and it's no contradiction over here. So, let's cite a couple of Pesukim. It says over there in Eshet, Eshet Chayil, meaning Sarah. Abraham's talking. Now, get that picture in your mind. Abraham is talking, and he's saying to the people, he's giving a eulogy. He's giving out of honor for the dead of for the death of his wife. He says, Eshet Chayil Miimsa. This woman of valor, somebody like this, who's going to find somebody like this? We cannot replace her. Batahba le ba'la. The husband, he had all of his trust in her. Abraham trusted Sarah with everything. With his child Yitzhak, with converting people, with his Torah. He shared it with her, his Torah, Torah Tateva. He actually, as we said, she became a greater prophetess than him from his tutelage. And he had bitachon. He had trust in his wife. Batachba le ba'la. And it says further on, Sophia halichot beta. Sophia halichot beta. Now they're describing Sarah. Sophia means she watched. Sophia means to see. She saw the halichot beta. She watched the meanderings, the goings and comings in her house, in her home. Now the whole idea is we're talking about Sarah, but we're talking about us emulating Sarah. That's why the Torah is writing it here. First for the kavod for Sarah, certainly, but in order for us to emulate Sarah. And all you mothers out there, and you fathers too, you have to watch your house like a hawk. Sarai Menu was a hawk of the house. Sophia Halicha. She watched anybody coming in and going out. She watched whoever her children were talking to. She watched even the teachers that were teaching them. She watched everything. She was the mashgiach of the house. And this is what we have to be, especially in our day and age right now. Right now, we don't know what's seeping through the cracks of the house, what influence is seeping through the doors. Whether you know it or not, it's coming in from the outside world. It's automatic. It's gravity. So we have to combat that. Sarai Menu knew that, and she was watching everything. She watched what her kids said. If you listen to what your kids say, listen carefully, you'll see that's an indication to who they're hanging around with and who they're learning from. So you got to be very attentive to what your children are saying and how they say it. Lechem aslul lo tochel. She was very energetic. She was by Maher, by Yarots. She was an energetic person. She didn't eat lechem aslut, the bread of sloth, the bread of being laziness. She didn't eat that bread. She didn't act that way. And this is also, this was a model for the children of her home and her grandchildren, all of them, to be a model from Sarai Imenu, to be energetic in her service of Hashem. Energetic. She was full of energy. She knew that mitzvah, when she has a chance to get a mitzvah, atach mitzena, because it could pass. So she was energetic in her service of Hashem. It says further, piha patecha bechokhma betorat chesed al leshona. Her mouth, her speech was open bechokhma, with wisdom. She only spoke two things. She spoke wisdom of Torah. The wisdom of what she heard from her great husband, piha, her speech, her mouth, pateha, it was open bechokhma. Not only, it's open only with two things, bechokhma, betorat chesed aleshona. And she spoke about chesed. So she spoke about chokhma, chokhmat ha-teva, chokhmat ha-torah, chokhmat that she heard from Abraham Avinu, and she spoke torat chesed, kindliness. That was the only two things that she spoke. And this is the model for us again, that we should be speaking, we should be very careful what we speak and how we speak. And the only things that should come out of our mouths are words of wisdom, words of Torah, words of encouragement, certainly. And encouragement falls into the category of chesed, Torah chesed. You put your arm around the person, tell them, how you feeling today? You look great today. You know, you try to encourage them. Can I help you with something? That's a Torah chesed. And that was the description that Abraham Avinu described, the essence of Sarah Imenu. And he goes further. And he says, "Vatishak liyom aharon." She wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid of her last day because, you know why? Because she was preparing for it from the day she was born. She knew there was a last day. She didn't lose sight of a last day. She knew that there was going to be an end of the run. But she also knew that that wasn't the end. She knew the end was not the end. And that's why she was able to live. Certainly she wanted to live a long, long, long life. She wanted to live more and more. No question about it. But she knew the time was going to come. Everybody's time comes. And when the time came after 127 years and she was pure and clean, like 20 years old, like in her beauty, and 1 year old, like in her purity, lacking a sin, she was a complete shalem woman. And she was ready. But this hakli omacha, had no regrets. She had no regrets on life. She had no regrets. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I should have done this. I could have done more. He had no regrets. And that's why she was able to tishak. She was happy. She had laughing. She was laughing, so to speak. What? On the Yom Aharon, on her last day, at her last day, she knew she did something with her life. It says, la'asot. Asher bara Elohim la'asot. God created this world to do, in order for you to be a doer. And Sarai Imenu was the doer. Doer par excellence. She did everything to make herself better and better. She did whatever she could do. She did everything for her husband, and she did everything to raise her son. She had one son, Yitzhak, and she did everything to raise her son, Yitzhak, in the right, proper manner towards Avodat Hashem. So that's just some of the things that Avraham Avinu said in his eulogy in the Eshet Chayil. If you examine the Eshet Chayil, you can find many, many, many more ideas that Avraham Avinu said about his great wife. Now we also see now Avraham Avinu purchases Marat HaMachpira from Ephron HaChiti. And the way he buys it is the way that we have to learn from the way he buys it. He ends out, he doesn't negotiate for it, he doesn't chisel for it, he doesn't cheat about it. First of all, we have to learn that when you're buying something very important, it's not a time for negotiation necessarily. You want to buy it clean. Why? It's vital. It's important. You want to buy it. Can you afford it, first of all? Go ahead and buy it. It's important. Abraham Avinu certainly could afford it. He was the richest man. Maybe he was one of the richest men ever. And Hashem made him rich. Even Paro made him rich. But Abraham was it. So he knew Marat HaMechpelah was vital. He knew that he's going to bury his wife there, and all the other Imahot are going to be buried there, and Yitzhak is going to be buried there, and Yaakov's going to be buried there, and all that, and he's going to be buried there. And he knew all that stuff, and therefore he didn't want to have any problems with this Marat HaMechpelah. He didn't want to have, if he received it for free, like Ephron wanted to give it to him for free, although we know Ephron had ulterior motives. First he wanted to give it to him for free, and then he wanted to give it to him for 400 shekel kesef male. So in the beginning, for free. At the end, he wanted the most expensive price for the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. But Abraham knew that if he taken it for free, maybe 100 years later, 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later, the descendants of Ephron will come to the Jews, maybe the Palestinians will come to the Jews today and say, "Hey, where's your contract for that?" He said, "Well, I got it for a gift." "What do you mean gift? My great-grandfather didn't give no gift. That's ours. You can't take it as a gift." And they want to try to take it back. This way, Abraham knew that he had to have a bona fide receipt for that purchase of land, which he did. And nobody can come and claim that it's theirs, because it's very important. So we have to make sure we have to have a solid contract and buy it with a meeting of the minds, that the man you're selling it to accepts and you accept to sell it, and thereby there'll be a clean transfer of property. So we see again a Derech Eretz Avraham, the way he spoke, the way he talked to them, and we see the way they respected him. They called him Nesi Elokim Ata Betochenu. They called him a prince of God, and Avraham was everything. Avraham was a prince of God. He was a prophet. He was a very rich man. He was very well respected. He was a tremendous general. Did you know that? Abraham was a tremendous general. he was one of the first, if not the first, that he attacked at night. He waged war at night when he went to war against the four kings and the five kings that captured Lot. He went to war with 318 soldiers, which he had a standing army. Standing army, that's how rich he was. He had a standing army. And along with Eliezer, and he went to wage war against these kings. How could he go wage war? 300 people. So, say, by Kem Laila, he went and he waged war at night. So this was a very unusual thing to do, because in those days they didn't wage war. You can't see at night. They waged war only in the daytime. And they used to gather at the two sides of the ravine and then say, charge, and we meet in the middle of the ravine, and whoever made it. But Abraham was an original thinker, most original thinker that ever walked the face of this earth. So he said, you know, let me try this strategy. Let's encircle these armies, and that they've taken Lot captive as well, and we'll do it at night, so they can't see how many people we have. And what did they do? The Midrash tells us they started making a lot of noise, and those armies got terribly frightened. And on top of that, they were able to take sand and throw it, and it would turn into rocks, and it turned into arrows, and whatever else it turned into was a miracle. And thereby, Abraham demonstrated his genius, even in matters of waging war. Also, Abraham Avinu was a genius in mathematics and astrology. A genius. Actually, we know that the Egyptians, they built the pyramids, and there was mathematics. Till today, they don't know how they built the pyramids, how they put that together. And astronomy, they were well known in their study of the stars. But the question is, how did they learn that? So comes Josephus and brings down a ancient historian from Berzos the Chaldean, from Ur Kasdim, who writes down that Abraham Abinu, when he came to Egypt to find food, when there was no food in Canaan, there was a famine, it says there that when he was able to teach the Egyptians mathematics and astronomy. And when he left the land, that's what they learned it from Abraham Avinu. He also taught them Derech Eretz. He taught them to leave idolatry. And human sacrifice ceased and stopped in the land when Abraham left. And you have to know that the Egyptians became more civilized, because in those days they worshipped the snake, the asp, and the baboon. And Abraham Avinu cured them of that into realizing there was, like he taught the whole world, that there was one God in the world, and it certainly wasn't the asp and the baboon. So now, the scene in our Torah, you know, we started from the beginning, Veruach Hashem merachefet al pnei hamayim. The Spirit of God is hovering on the face of the water. So it's hovering. It means it's moving. It moved from Adam. Then it moved to Noah. And it moved to Shet. And it moved now to Abraham. Now it's moving from Abraham Avinu, who's going to pass away in our parasha. And it's moving to Yitzhak. The Spirit of God is moving over to Yitzhak. Now, over here, we're introduced to a very special personality called Eliezer, Eved Abraham. Now we have to know Eliezer was a very, very, very great man. Very great. He was the servant of Abraham. He was Doleo Mashke. He was not only the servant of Abraham, he was the student. He was the student of Abraham. And at the time, number one student of Abraham, Tamid Mufak. Also, he was the Rosh Yeshiva. He was able to teach over the Torah of Abraham Avinu to the people, to the masses, to the people out there. He was the Shaliach of Abraham Avinu. And you have to know that he was just a little bit less than Abraham Avinu. Abraham was the greatest, and he was just a little bit less. Have that picture in your mind. Because he emulated Abraham. He even looked like Abraham. He sounded like Abraham. And he used to give over the shiur. Abraham gave the class. He told over the same class after Abraham left the room. Abraham said, oh, give it over again. Tell the boys, review it. He used to review it. And he was Moshel akol asher lo. Oh, Torah tells us a big pasuk in this week's parasha. Eliezer was Moshel akol al kol asher lo. Moshel is like a king. It really means he was in control. He was in control. Eliezer was in control in everything asher lo. Everything that Abraham had means he was in control of all of Abraham's money. He controlled the whole estate. He controlled all of the financial affairs of Abraham Avinu. Abraham Avinu was an extremely, extremely wealthy man and powerful man. Abraham didn't want to get involved with that. He let Eliezer, he trusted him so much, Eved Abraham, and he had the bitachon in Eliezer, that he controlled Abraham's estate. Now, not only that, Moshel controlled, Eliezer was in control of his desires. Who is the mighty man that kovesh? He is able to control his desires. Now, of course, Eliezer's model was Abraham Avinu. Abraham Avinu controlled every limb in his body. So, now, also, Moshe Rakol Asher Lo. He was in control of everything that's inside of him, even his organs. Now, we have to know that Abraham Avinu was a massive personality. He had a mind that was able to perceive all of the secrets of Hashem from the beginning till the end, all the mitzvot. He was able to extract them from the world, even the mitzvot, the mitzvot of the Rabbanan. Every mitzvah was able to be extracted and derived, davar mitoch davar, from his mind. He saw Hashem in an apple, in an orange. He saw the maker in what he made. He was able to discern the one that made it by what he made. Whether it was an apple, an orange, a flower, a peach, a pear, a horse, a cow, a camel, a person, an eye, a hair, a nose, anything that was made naturally, he could figure out from looking at it and studying it about the one that made it, the chesed that he made it with, and the wisdom that he made it with, and the power that he made it with. He could see it all. And he was also able to figure out that there's an Olam Haba, that this life's not the end of the run. The end of life isn't a hole in the ground. He figured it out, that Hashem would make all the kindnesses in this world that it should end when a person passes away. It must be his Olam Haba. He figured that out too, with his genius mind. So now, we know that Eliezer was able to do basically the same things. He was just a little bit less than Abraham Avinu. And we'll tell you on this idea, we'll tell you a story about Rabbi Avigdor Miller that I heard from his son, Rabbi Lezer Miller. Well, when Rabbi Miller passed away, 2001, he was 93 years old. And Rabbi Lezer told me the following. About a year and a half or so before he passed away, the rabbi had a couple of fainting spells. And he went to the doctors. They said, "Oh, you have something. You need a procedure in your heart, valve replacement, pacemaker, because the blood isn't flowing properly over there. We need to do a procedure, but you'll be okay. We'll be fine." So the rabbi thought about it for about a day and a half, and his wife got the Rebbetzin was very nervous about it, certainly because she was afraid maybe he'll faint and fall down the stairs. So. In any case, the rabbi decided within a short, very short period of time, like I said, about a day or so, day and a half, that he's going to go ahead with the procedure, and he did. So it went well, fine, no problem. So after he passed away, his son Lazer told me, "You remember that when the rabbi went for that procedure?" I said, "Yes." He goes, the rabbi told me that he never needed the procedure." I said, "What do you mean? The doctor said you needed the procedure." He said, "No, I never needed. The only reason I took the procedure was, first of all, to calm down your mother's nerves. Your mother was very nervous, and I don't want her to be nervous. So I took that procedure so she would feel better, so she'd be calm, so she wouldn't be anxious. And the other reason, I didn't need the procedure because I want you to know that I had the situation in control with my mind. So Rabbi Lezer told me, don't ask me what that means, because I don't know what that means. I have no idea what he's talking about." Rabbi Lezer then tells me another story that about 4 or 5 years prior to that, Rabbi Miller was diagnosed with a leukemia in the blood. And he went to the specialist, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you're going to have to start some treatments, I guess radiation or chemo, for this situation. So come back and we'll re-examine you and we'll start the treatments. So in a short period of time, the rabbi came back to the doctor and they examined him again, and the doctor couldn't believe his eyes. He looks at the results. He said, he writes on the form, miracle. This is a miracle. He said, doctor said, there's nothing over here. You're fine. There's no trace of anything. I don't know what's going on over here, but you're fine. So as they walked out of the doctor's office, walking down the street, his son asked him, what gives over here? What happened? How did this happen? So the rabbi told his son, quote, I willed it away. So Rabbi Lezer said, looked at me and says, I don't know what he means by that, but that's what he said, that he willed it away. So a few years after that, I was listening to a tape called Eliezer Eved Abraham. And on that tape, the rabbi says that Eliezer was in control, Moshe Lakola Shelo, he was in control even of his organs, of his internal organs, his liver, his heart, his stomach, his spleen, all the internal organs, he can control it with his mind. And then he said the following, he said, and you can do it too. So that's what he said. So we see over here a direct connection that the rabbi did say that Eliezer could control it, Abraham certainly did it, and certain people can do it. And the rabbi said, you can do it too. And then he told his son that I had it under control with my mind. It's a tremendous story I want you that we heard about Rabbi Victor Miller. Now, Eliezer goes now to get a wife for Yitzhak. And our Torah talks about this at length. And they repeat the story two or three times. Many, many times to repeat the same story. You know, we know our Torah usually talks in a code. Doesn't speak too much. Doesn't ma'arich in stories. Sometimes it says just one word. And that one word, the Chazal may tell us what the Torah is talking about. The Torah Shebaal Peh will tell us further information on that one word. But over here, the Torah goes about a lengthy description, 66 Pesukim, on Eliezer finding a wife for Abraham Avinu. And even more than the creation of the world. The creation world has 31 Pesukim, but this has 66. So we see over here that we have to know there's a principle in Torah that Hashem writes more. When he writes a lot about something, he wants you to notice it. He wants you to notice it. If he writes about the creation of 31 Pesukim, he wants you to notice it. He wants you to study it. He wants you to delve into it. He wants you to think about it. He write a lot of Pesukim, 31. All Hashem could have done is Bereshit bara Elohim et haShamayim v'et haAretz. That's it. That's all I got to say. God created the world, the heaven and the earth. No, He created the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, so on and so forth. He made the light. He made the animals. He made the oceans. He separated them. Gives you a lot of details. Because Hashem wants you. This is what Hashem is thinking, and this is what He wants you to think. He wants you to think about these things, the Chesed and the power, and the planning and the wisdom that went into creation of the world. And over here, Hashem is showing a lot more space than even creating the world. 66 Pesukim. That's a lot more space. So how come He's giving it more space to find a wife for Yitzhak than creating the whole world? It would seem that the creation of the world is more important than finding a wife for Yitzhak. No. They want to teach us that the finding a wife of Yitzhak is more important than the creation of the world. That the whole creation of the world, the purpose of the creation was to find a wife for Yitzhak. Bereshit, bishbil reshit. The Bereshit, Hashem created the world for the Reshit. Reshit, bishbil Yisrael, shenikret reshit. The Jewish people, Jewish nation are called first. We are the first. Hashem created the whole world in order to bring wife for Yitzhak. Now, we are learning Derech Eretz, and we're learning the Chesed from Rivka. We're now being introduced to Rivka. Rivka was a tremendous lady. She came from a house of Avodah Zarah, but she learned Chesed, unbelievable Chesed. We introduced her, and by Maher, Vayarot, she's running and running and running and rushing. She sees this stranger coming to town, this Eliezer, and he got camels, a lot of camels, and a big entourage. And she goes over to him and she asks him, can I give you some water? And she says, I'll even give you camels. I'll even give you camels to drink. Now, we know that Eliezer made a special condition with Hashem. He prayed to Hashem. He said, please, on the merit of my great master, Abraham Abinu, do chesed with him. And please, I want to find the right wife for Yitzhak. So we have to go do it. We're going to do the chesed test, the acid test, because that's what the family was. The family, Abraham Avinu's family, was a family of chesed. They saw the chesed in the creation. They saw the chesed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they saw that they were even in the genes of the family of Abraham Avinu, which were idol worshippers, Betuel. They were Reshaim, Lavan, Reshaim. But they had a touch of chesed. They had a midah of chesed inside of them that the Kanaanim did not have. They were achzarim. They were meanness. So, in any case, so he did the test of chesed for Rivka. Hashem followed through, and the test went fantastic. So Rivka Eliezer came to town. Rivka said, I'll give you a drink. Eliezer, could you give me some drink from your vessel? And she said, surely, let me feed you camels as well. And there was a lot of camels to feed, to drink. And this was a prerequisite. We see the chesed of Rivka as a prerequisite for greatness. The kindliness is a prerequisite for greatness. And she learned this. We see a parallel between the way she ran and the way Sarah ran and the way Abraham ran. And she learned this zerizut. Zerizut means alacrity. It means being energetic. She saw this energetic, this alacrity and being energetic is a great trait in service of people, in service of Hashem, being energetic in this world. You're only in this world one time, so you want to be energetic in your stay in this world. Now, we see over here that Eliezer was considered an Arur. Arur means cursed. He was cursed because Noah said, cursed be Canaan, because they did a bad thing. They did a bad thing to Noah, so he got a curse on him. Cursed be Canaan, Arur Canaan. He will be a Eved Abadim. He'll be a slave of slaves to his brothers. Be a slave to his brothers. Okay, so we know that Abraham told Eliezer, you can't bring any, made him swear, you can't bring any daughters of Canaan to give to my son Yitzhak, even if they're the greatest girls in the world. The truth of the matter is, Eliezer did have a great daughter, and she was brought up in the house of Abraham Avinu, and for sure she was a fantastic girl. Maybe she learned in the Bet Midrash of Sarai Menu. She probably did. So, aside from her lineage and her race, she would have certainly merited to be a wife for Yitzhak. That definitely Eliezer, that's what he felt, that's what he thought. But Eliezer didn't let that bias overcome him. And he demonstrated the greatest trait of them all. And that's Derech Eretz Kamal Torah. That's the midah of loyalty. Ne'emanut. He was loyal. He was loyal to Abraham Avinu. When you have that trait of loyalty, steadfastness, that comes from an emet, from an honesty, a loyalty, and no matter what, he did not budge from his loyalty, even though he had a bias to give his daughter to Yitzhak Avinu. So it's because of this loyalty, it transformed him. It was a transformation. And we see in the parasha, came from the words, the mouth of Lavan. Actually, Hashem's talking through the mouth of Lavan, and he says, Bo Beruch Hashem. Come, you blessed of Hashem. So we see Eliezer was transformed from an arur, from a cursed, to a baruch, to a blessed. And that's Eliezer, Eved Abraham. You know, he went up to heaven without dying. That's how great he was. Eliezer went up to heaven without dying. Whole. He went up straight to heaven. Eliezer was one of the greats. And why? Again, why? Because he followed in the footsteps. He was the greatest student of the time of Abraham Avinu. In fact, Abraham thought that if he didn't have any children, that all of his estate was going to go over to Eliezer. He felt that's how he felt about Eliezer. He felt that that's how great he knew Eliezer had become. But Hashem told him, no, you're going to have a child, and you're going to name him Yitzhak. And you see over here that Yitzhak was named by God, by the way. You're going to name him Yitzhak. And from Yitzhak, Yikare Lecha Zara. And your seed will come from the Zera of Yitzhak. Now, so he was transformed to a Baruch. Now, you have to know Rivka was, as we said, very great, and she demonstrated her chesed right away. That was the litmus test. If she had that chesed test, and Eliezer was so happy and thankful, and he thanked Hashem, he prayed to Hashem for bringing this young girl with all the proper traits to his attention to bring to Yitzhak. And he brought Rivka back to the tent of Sarah. Now the tent of Sarah was now dark. It was a dark place. Sarah passed away. All the miracles had ceased. And when Rivka came into the tent, all the miracles revived again. They had the cloud over the tent, and the bread hot all week, and the candles lit all week, and all these special miracles that Sarah had ignited inside of her tent. Rivka was doing the same thing, basically on the level of Sarah. Now, we have to know in our parasha, you have major people passed away. We have Sarah passed away and Abraham. Let's talk about them first. Sarah and Abraham passed away. Giants passed away. And it says by them, Vayikva, Vayamot, Vayesav, Elamav. And it says by the great people, they expired and they died and they were gathered to their people. So Rabbi Miller points this out as an allusion, as a proof, as a hint to Olam Abba. How's that? He expired and he died and he was gathered to his people. He says, Abraham Avinu wasn't gathered to Terach. He wasn't gathered back to his people. He was gathered back to the Tzaddikim in Shamayim. Gathered maybe to Noach, gathered maybe to Adam, to Chanoch, gathered to his people in Shamayim. The Tzaddikim in Shamayim, that's Olam Abba. We have Olam Hazeh, Olam Abba, you have Yimot HaMashiach, and you have Techiyat HaMetim. That's the four-step process. We said it in the prayers yesterday. Olam Hazeh, this world, Olam Abba, that's the world of Neshamot, Olam HaNeshamot, the holding Olam. You have Yimot HaMashiach, and then you have Techiyat HaMetim, where the body is going to come back with the souls. Revival of the dead, Techiyat HaMetim. Even by Yishmael. Now you have to know Yishmael, for whatever he was, the Torah tells us he died in Teshuvah. He died at Tzaddik. It says, and they bring up, Rashi brings a proof probably from the Gemara somewhere, said that by Peru Oto, Yitzhak for Yishmael. Yishmael allowed Yitzhak to go first. He knew Yitzhak was the greater one, even though Yishmael was much older than him. But he realized that Yitzhak was the chosen one, and he told Yitzhak, Tfadal, go first. You bury your father first. Hold up the top of the coffin, I guess. And that's what he did. And therefore, Yishmael, it shows Yishmael was a Tzaddik. Not like Esav. Esav tried to hold up the burial of Yaakov Avinu because he felt he's first. Esav said, I'm first. But Yishmael said, even though I was born first, Yitzhak is greater, and we're going to let him go first. Now we have to know that what this whole idea of Olam Abba, as we're talking about right now, is actually open Mishnah. It says, "Called Yisrael Yeshnei Chala Olam Abba." It's in Perek Chedek, Tanedrin. We learned it today. All the Jewish people have a portion of Olam Abba. Of course, a Jew means you have to believe in 13 Ikarim. You have to believe in the 13 fundamentals of Judaism: that God runs the world, that there is a God, He's one, there's no more than one. There's a Techiyat HaMetim, there's a Torah Min HaShamayim. You have to believe that Torah is Min HaShamayim. The Torah is not man-made. It's from God Himself, that God wrote the Torah. Now that's, for some people, that's a leap. There's a lot of people, Jews out there, say, God wrote the Torah. No, here we have to say God wrote it. Otherwise, you have no Chedek Olam Abba. You're not, your soul is cut off, finished. They put you in the ground, It's over for you. It's over for a person to put you in the ground. But if you're Si Yisrael, you believe in 13 Yag Ikarim, even though you're doing some Avirot, it's not going to stop your soul from getting Olam Haba. You'll have to pay for whatever you did. Everybody's got to pay. There's no free ride. But you're still considered a Yisrael. And we say, this world is compared to a vestibule, compared to a hallway. This world is a preparation world. This world is the only way you're going to get to Olam Haba, by going through this world, by doing good things, by improving yourself. That this world is the place for takana, hatken, improve, prepare in this world. In order to enter the banquet hall, that's Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the banquet hall. And Shabbat is also, if you prepare on Shabbat, then you're going to eat on Shabbat. You'll eat on Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat, that's Olam Haba. When you eat, when you prepare in Moshe Shabbat, when you prepare on Erev Shabbat, before Shabbat comes in, then you'll be able to eat when Shabbat goes out, Moshe Shabbat. But if you don't prepare that chicken before Shabbat goes in, and you have a raw chicken, then what are you going to eat? You can't eat the raw chicken. So you have to make sure to prepare. Everything in this life is preparation. All the important things are preparation in life. You prepare for Shabbat. You prepare for, if you have a presentation, you got to prepare well for it. So over here, again, we're learning Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. And we certainly have a lot to learn. We're learning from Sarah Imenu, the greatest woman. Sophia Halichopeta, she also Bantabeta Chokmat Nashim Bantabeta. The wise woman builds her home. And Sarah was very, very, very wise. And she built, not only, she built Klal Yisrael. One lady built the whole Klal Yisrael, Sarah Imenu. And we have inside of us the genes of Sarah Imenu. Think about that, 4,000 years ago. From 4,000 years ago, we're still talking about and thinking about Sarah Imenu. You know, when you think about Sarah Imenu and you talk about her, like we've been doing this week, you are thinking Hashem and talking like Hashem, because that's what he wrote in his Torah. And everything that a God wrote in his Torah are what he's thinking about. It's what he's talking about. And that is V'halachta bidrachav. You are walking in the ways of Hashem by thinking and talking and speaking in the things that he's doing. You are also emulating, that's called the tamot. That's to emulate Hashem. And it's available to us at all times. You walk on the street, just say, you're going to say, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. And thereby, you'll be thinking a thought that Hashem is thinking in his Torah, and that Hashem is thinking all the time. So this is some of the ways that we can become great. We become great. Of course, kindliness is the prerequisite to greatness. By being kindly to your fellow Jew, being kindly, giving encouragement, by showing them a smiley face, by asking them if there's anything you could do for them today, that's a kindly nature, and this will show kindliness will lead to greatness. And this is some of the things we're learning from Sefer Bereshit, Sefer Hayashar, and we have this gift of Sefer Bereshit in our hands, and just a matter of opening it up, looking into it. See Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, these are our great fathers and mothers. We're so lucky to have this lineage, and we should thank Hashem, Baruch Hashem, that we come from the Zera of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Komlech Hasadim. Have a great day.